Welcome to Senior Talk with Cheryl Culbertson, your Texas senior care expert. Cheryl has over 30 years of experience directly related to the senior housing and senior care industry, and she understands the many difficult and overwhelming decisions seniors and caregivers are faced with daily. Ready for qualified and trustworthy healthcare advice? Well, sit back and stay tuned to Senior Talk with Cheryl Culbertson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Senior Talk. I'm Cheryl Culbertson, your host, and also the founder of Elder Options of Texas, an online senior care and housing directory. As many of you know, the goal of Senior Talk is to share important information and resources to assist seniors, children with aging parents, and caregivers. That's why I'm very excited to have as my special guest today, Carol Mark, an aging alone advocate who will be discussing a very important subject, elder orphans. Carol is a syndicated columnist, editor at seniorcare.com, as well as founder of the Elder Orphans Facebook group. Now, this group is for adults 55 and older who find themselves aging alone without the help or support of a spouse or adult children. Group members also discuss the challenges when growing older and living alone. Carol, how are you? And thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, absolutely, Cheryl. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, you are welcome. I'm so intrigued about this topic that you're going to talk about because, well, you know, it's one of those things where somebody might say, well, why didn't you ask? Well, I didn't know to ask. I never have given thought because, fortunately, I have a spouse and adult children. I've never given thought to this situation that apparently is a growing population out there. So I'm anxious to get started, have you share with our listeners about this. So let me ask you this. Is aging alone really a really big concern here in the United States? Is it large enough that we have this category called elder orphans now?
Well, absolutely. Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, this segment, who is aged, and their community-dwelling individuals who are socially and also physically isolated without an available known family member or a designated surrogate. And according to the U.S. Census, Cheryl, the data shows in the U.S., 25% of the 65-plus population age alone. And that was back in 2010. And so you can imagine now that since boomers are kind of coming into the fold of the 65 plus population, that will only double and even triple in some cases, because the boomers, whether you know this or not, but the boomers are the leading segment who have the highest divorce rates and childless marriages.
Yes, I was very aware of that, so I can see why that's a growing group there.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, Cheryl, as we age, not just boomers, but as we do age, we have multiple chronic diseases. And so what makes the issue so hard is those of us who are geographically distant from family and friends, those of us who are aging alone, you know, of course, carries a lot of, a lot of issues and a lot of problems that we face.
Well, so how exactly did you come into being involved with this topic of aging alone? What is your story?
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I am aging alone. I am 65. I'll be 66 next month. I have no children. I do not have a partner or a spouse. I've been alone now, for the last 10 years. And what caught my attention about this particular segment is when I was caring for my parents, I was a family caregiver. My mom lived with chronic illnesses, and my dad lived with Alzheimer's. But fortunately for my parents, they had four children, and we all pitched in to help in their elder care tasks. So, and believe me, and as you would know, those tasks kept us very busy. So, you know, once they passed, which was close to, 10 years now, You know, it occurred to me, oh my gosh, I don't have anyone to count on when I grow older, when I become more and more frail and more dependent. Who's going to care for me? And then I started thinking about, oh my goodness, my sisters are in the same boat, and so are a few of my cousins and my friends. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, there are a lot of us who are childless and spouseless. So that's kind of what launched me into this whole idea of aging alone, you know, and really becoming an advocate for us.
And that is how so many very cool things get started, is because somebody has a personal vested interest. They've experienced it themselves, and they're like, well, gosh, if I'm one, there must be others, and let me reach out and help those. So, again, like I said, I just never even thought about this. And when I talked to you and you said you wanted to talk about this subject, I was so excited, because I'm hoping there's so many listeners out there that if they're in this position or if they know somebody, you know, to let them know they're not alone. And we're going to go into later on in the show resources and contacts so that they can maybe, you know, find some help and support and so forth. So, Carol, what steps would you recommend that individuals who find themselves aging alone, how do they even begin to prepare for that? At what point in their life, if they know that's inevitable, at what point in their life should they start the planning process?
According to research, and I'm just going to mention Dr. Maria Carney, who is a geriatrician, and she's done quite a bit of, she's also a research scientist up in the state of New York, and she does quite a bit of research on the topic of elder orphans and aging alone. And her thought is, first off, the sooner you can start preparing for growing older and becoming more dependent, the better off you're going to be. And in my opinion, as soon as you can acknowledge, I mean, look around and say, yes, I am alone and I will probably remain alone the rest of my life, the better off you're going to be. Because once you do accept that thought, you're going to automatically set up a mindset of action steps. And so, like, for example, you accept the fact that I will age alone, and then you start looking around and think, well, what can I do today to begin to prepare? So the first place to start would be legal concerns, especially those that point to assigning a healthcare proxy, like an advance directive. Who will step in for you if you should become incapacitated? Now, if you don't have a child or a spouse, who would you totally trust to be your advocate? So that would be the first place to start. And then, you know, and then take it from there. If you're sick and need to go to the doctor or to the hospital, who can you count on to drive you? And who can sit in the hospital and help care for you, or to bring you back home and help you recuperate? So who would those people be? Who could shop for you? You know, absolutely, you can hire a private duty home care person or assistant, but think again, are you financially able to pay for it? And, you know, and something that we also need to do is to share with our physicians and our healthcare providers, and to let them know that we're aging alone, because many times, you know, physicians, they don't think about it. So when they're assessing you as a patient, they need to know that you are aging alone, and so that they can kind of help you prepare and to set up a care plan.
And listen, Carol, I would also think, you know, because those are all such really great recommendations, and I'm sitting here, my brain is just like working really fast thinking about all this stuff. I would think too, in case they fell or became injured in their home, that they, you know, a lot of us have in our cell phones or, you know, next of kin or so forth. Who do they have as an emergency contact on their person or on their phone or in their wallet or something? Would you think to, who are they going to designate as that person to be in case something happens to them?
Absolutely. It's so important. So important.
And so when you started doing the research and finding out about the aging alone, is there, I'm just curious here, because like I said, I'm learning about this as well. Is there any one part of the United States that is more affected, has a larger population, or is it kind of like across the board?
No, I would say there are more states heavily populated with, and cities also. I mean, for example, Dallas, where I live, 31% of us, of the people, 65 and older age alone, whereas in Austin, it's only 7%. So
there's a really good point right there, because I know you and I have spoke prior to, and the importance, which you, well, you're an expert in this, so you planned ahead. You went from Austin, that has such a low percentage of individuals that are facing the same concerns and need you are, to a city that has the same type of individuals growing older, so that there's probably more resources and walkable communities and so forth.
Well, yeah, and that's my that's my preference, and that's a very good point. And so once we accept the fact that we're aging alone, that's when your mind will start thinking, okay, how can I better prepare myself? Because eventually I'm not going to drive, or at least I will want to drive less. And who can I surround myself with to be there, not only to help me if I need support, but also who can be my friend, because we need to have that social contact and also to mitigate isolation, because those are really tough risk factors, that can cause some serious illnesses.
Right. And, I want to bring up this point, too, because, I've seen it, unfortunately, that I would like to say that just because some have children does not mean they're going to be there when the parent needs them. And unfortunately, that is just the case out there. And so I'm thinking if you have children and you are estranged from them, there's not a good relationship, or they're in a bad place in their life where they're not responsible and cannot help you, you still need to be planning ahead to age alone. True?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in my elder orphan group, we have, 25% of our members have children, but all of them live at a distance. And I hear them in our discussions and comments, I hear them say, I don't see my son, I don't see my daughter, but maybe once or twice a year. I really can't count on them, and I don't want to become a burden. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I mean, my sister's even in that situation. She lives at a distance from her son, and yet she knows she can't count on him. Not that he doesn't want to, but he just lives too far away.
And that's just how it is nowadays. I mean, back in the days when, I was a child and grandma and grandpa were around, we all lived within drivable distance. I mean, everybody was like in the same community. Not so nowadays. Not only do we live in other cities within the same state, we live in other states, and we live worldwide due to job transfers and so forth. So you're absolutely right. You can have the children, and even though they care a great deal about you logistically, it's just not possible. So again, start planning accordingly, like you suggested.
Absolutely. It's so important, Cheryl. Well, it's not important for just people who are aging alone. I mean, all seniors should be planning, right?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes, and one thing I'm a really big, if you want to call advocate about, and I harp all the time to my own family members and friends and stuff, is don't wait till you're in crisis mode. You know it's coming. Start planning, laying the groundwork, go visit places, make phone calls, get a list going, do something. And unfortunately, all too often, people just put it off. They're procrastinators, or they just don't want to face the reality. And so then something happens, and then boom, yeah, They're in crisis mode.
That's right. Absolutely. So it's even more important, not that it's less important for all seniors, but it's even more important for those of us who are aging alone, because if you're in a crisis mode and you're at home alone, I mean, that's got to be triple the panic.
Yeah, that's got to be the worst case scenario. Absolutely. I agree. Well, listen, we're going to take a real quick sponsor break, and then we'll be right back to finish up this fascinating conversation. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is Senior Talk.
Feelings of depression, isolation, and frustration are common among persons living with Alzheimer's or related dementias. It's common among those who care for them, too. It takes a lot of patience and courage. It also takes knowing when you can no longer do it alone. At Arden Courts, memory care is all we do. We know, we understand, we can help. Don't let guilt keep you from making the right decision. Call Arden Courts Memory Care Community today at 512-918-2800. Arden Courts follows Equal Housing Opportunity Guidelines. Many children with an elderly parent find it impossible to provide for their needs and their family's needs as well. Professional caretakers, providing caring, compassionate home health care throughout Austin and surrounding areas. Call 512-794-0065.
Keep up with the latest headlines from Austin and beyond on the all-new Talk1370.com. Stay informed with the latest news, weather, contests, and more. It's all just a click away at Talk1370.com. Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370.
Okay, we are back with Carol Mark, an aging alone advocate. And if you're just now joining us, we are talking about the growing population of adults 55 and older who find themselves growing alone due to either being childless or not having a spouse anymore, and all the difficulties they could run into and how important it is to plan ahead. And so, Carol, I have to go into this question now. For those that are living alone and growing older, what risk are they encountering? I mean, what's involved here with people who are, what's the risk?
Certainly. The first risk is social support. And when an individual has low social support, it's linked to both poor physical and psychological health. And that's been proven in studies, which gives you an increased risk of mortality, especially for the elderly population. And moreover, decreased social interaction that can stem from this lack of support, can affect, it correlates with low affect and arousal, which therefore give you poor cognitive and social skills. And that can alter your mental functioning. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but someone who is very isolated and living alone, I mean, it's like their brain doesn't click. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And they can't process information. So that's one of the risks. Another one is isolation. And isolation, of course, is the state of having minimal contact with others. And it's different than loneliness, because loneliness is really the feeling of being socially alone. But both of them are identified as risk factors for physical and cognitive decline. That's why it's so important as you grow older to start thinking about how are you going to stay socially connected, and also how are you going to mitigate, being isolated and mitigating that loneliness, because that can really, studies have shown that can really put you at a high risk. And then they also claim that childlessness is an important risk factor for social isolation, because the studies have shown that childless adults often do have support networks, but they're usually at a distance, relatives, friends. Of course, they can count on neighbors, but what's the chance of that? I mean, neighbors now seem to come and go also. However, these networks are less likely to provide the long-term commitment and comparable high level of support, that children often do. So those are really the risk factors. But as you know, Cheryl, when you have that kind of burden of being isolated and you're mentally declining, that can also cause dementia. So it's very important to stay connected.
Well, and it can also throw them into depression. Big time, because
absolutely.
This is dementia. And I would like to mention, a thought here too. I would think that also another risk factor would be poor nutrition, because, you know, when my husband has to go out of town, it's just me, you know, I'm just like picking around. When he's home, I fix dinner. So when you're by yourself, it's real easy, especially as you get older, to not be interested anymore. And therefore they're not getting the nutritional needs and intake that they should have.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can even remember going to my parents' home and opening the refrigerator and thinking, my gosh, what are you eating?
I know. Yeah, exactly. And so when you are finding yourself in this position and you're like, okay, I identify myself, I am one of those, I'm going to age alone. What community support services are out there? How can the community better serve this growing population of people who are aging alone?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, the first place that I like to direct people to, of course, is the Department of Aging, the local area agency on aging. And because many times they offer education for older consumers. And the most needed education, of course, where I spoke to earlier, was creating the legal docs and how to create an advance directives and also creating a plan of care. So I think, as you know, that is priority for all seniors, and especially for those of us aging alone, because we need a care plan far in advance of needing acute care. And then also how, you know, to work with the different, you know, like adult daycare centers and other senior type of community services, you know, to start thinking through setting up goals of preventing avoidable hospital admissions. You know, how can we educate people to better care for themselves? You know, like you mentioned, eating better, staying mm-hmm. physically fit, staying connected socially. So those are all very important things that the community can start thinking about, is offering more, you know, more and better education for older adults.
Well, you know, and I wanted to throw in here, because a lot of folks may not realize it, we actually are fortunate to have one in our community. There is a lot of community through the parks and recreation divisions of cities that have, like, we've got one down the road, and they offer, it's free to anybody over 55. They've got exercise classes. You can go get a free lunch during the day. They've got all types of interactive activities and fun things to do. So it allows the senior to at least get one good meal a day, do some exercise, you know, be around other people, that social involvement. And so if anybody's listening and interested, reach out to your local senior centers or contact your local parks and recs, right? Because they do have a lot of these things available. And a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them provide transportation to and from.
Absolutely. And, you know, Meals on Wheels is another good resource.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I wanted to also mention, because I love the fact you brought up the Area Agency on Aging. So if anybody is trying to find out, you know, how they do that, they are across the whole United States, all through Texas, everywhere. And so if you're on the internet, just Google Area Agency on Aging and then add your county where you live or your loved one lives or whatever, and you will find the one that services your area, because it's not just one. There's many of them, and they all have certain areas within the state, the counties that they serve. But Carol, I'm so glad you brought them up, and the Meals on Wheels too, because being able to, if you're aging alone and you don't have anybody around, you do qualify for Meals on Wheels. And that's another way to have somebody come in and offer a little companionship while they're bringing you your meal, and you get a good, hot, nutritious lunch. So that is excellent. And so is there any other important information, Carol, that you would like to mention or talk about that maybe we have not covered? Because I know there's probably so much more to talk about, but we've only got so much time.
Sure. You know, I appreciate that, because one thing I'd like to bring up, and for the listeners today, if you feel like you're being abused, either from a neighbor or it could be a family member, it's so important to take care of yourself and to recognize elder abuse. And if you are feeling that that someone is taking advantage of you, to please contact the Adult Protective Services. That would be the first place to start. If you can't contact them, then please call your Department of Aging or the Area Agency on Aging.
Because there really are a lot of people out there that care, and there's a lot of services out there to help people. Unfortunately, that's why I like doing this show and having, you know, professionals and experts like yourself to bring this out there, because as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, people will say, well, I didn't know to ask, because they don't know. So the more we empower them with knowledge and information, then they're going to make better decisions.
Absolutely.
And that is what it is all about. Well, listen, this is what I want to make sure people know about. So here we go. If you want to learn more about elder orphans, you have a couple of ways to do so. If you're a member of Facebook, just go to the Facebook, or they've got the little search tool, and type in Elder Orphans Facebook group. And then you'll see Carol's name, and you can just move on through there and join and so forth. You can also go to seniorcare.com. And when you're on the homepage, look at the bottom left, and you'll see a link to Elder Orphans Resources, and just click on that, and then that will lead you to additional, you know, resources and information about elder orphans, which I highly encourage anybody to do, you know, if they find themselves in this position. And of course, I have to say, while you're online looking up Carol's Elder Orphans group page or on seniorcare.com, be sure and hit elderoptionsoftexas.com, where you're going to find a ton of senior care, healthcare professionals, apartments, care facilities, and just a wide variety of senior products and services available throughout the state of Texas. So I want to thank you again, Carol, for being on the show. And I want to remind everybody next week to join me Saturday the 11th at 3, when my guest will be Kim Beckham. Kim is a licensed agent specializing in long-term care insurance solutions for ASEA partners. And she's going to be discussing, is long-term care insurance right for you? So that'll be another really interesting discussion, and I hope you will tune in. So again, Carol, thank you for being on the show. And until next week, have a great rest of your day. Bye, everyone.